Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is The Morning Shift. I am Squid Billy. She is the South Jersey Shoe Queen, Channel 2's Allison Mastrangelo. And he's an All-American.
You sound like a big rig.
Former national champion.
On the way downhill.
Are you done?
The big rig, the semi-truck going downhill has got to shift.
Are you done stepping all over the fact that you're an All-American, a national champion, a former Atlanta Falcon? You don't want me to say it again? The more you talk during it, the more I'll say it, Michael.
People don't want us to argue.
Johnson.
Statistics show that people don't want us to argue on here.
That's actually not true. They don't want us to argue about nonsense.
Oh, I know it. I know it, man.
You know what they might want to argue about?
What?
Shoes?
Why our team would maybe have to make a decision between signing a pass trading and then re-signing a pass rusher.
You're going to go ahead and go
there. Or bringing out to set it up, or a free agent safety that is honestly still a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, something tells me you've had your ear to the ground on the socials. Allison, we talked about yesterday your caffeine intake. You were with the Celsius yesterday.
Yes,
same one?
I got a 12 pack.
What flavor?
You got a 12 pack?
Yeah, it's like the raspberry lemonade one.
What? Dady's giving me a thumbs up. And that's you too? Come on,
Thank you.
No! Day two. All right.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Mine's a powder mix, though.
I don't mind Celsius.
Because that's not enough.
That sounds like something that Tiffany would tell you not to eat.
Probably.
Or not to drink. She'd be like, no, you don't know what's in there.
That's so true.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
she'd be like,
doctors
say that you're not supposed to drink Celsius.
There's an app that I have that you can scan the barcode.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you, like, good or bad.
No kidding.
Oh, I got one that tells me how many calories. Yeah, she's anti-Mio. Tiffany is.
Oh, yeah.
She's also...
My app told me that, too.
Red Dye 40?
Try it.
It said no?
Yeah.
What did it say about it?
It said, I think it's like 5%. A lot of, like, artificial food coloring and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. It just colored inside.
Yeah.
Do you believe in water cleanses?
Huh?
I did a 72-hour water cleanse. Well, you mean no?
Why?
Because...
Did you put lemon in it?
Nope. Straight.
Put any salt in it?
Okay, the beef bone broth.
If you have lemon and salt, like your body needs salt, potassium. If you're just drinking water, you're literally just drinking water and it's just going through you.
It's cleansing.
Hey, Allison, I will say, I usually, when we have new people on here, and I know we had you yesterday, but the studio is a different kind of vibe. I will ask you this, though, because, and I think, you know what? I'm not even going to ask you because I can answer it for you. I always ask, are you a morning person? Are you not a morning person? You're a morning person.
I am a morning person.
And I don't even need you to answer it because I can tell from the way you acted yesterday and this morning, definitely a morning person.
It's not a facade. I am a morning person.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're an overjoyed morning person. I'm a morning person too. Yesterday was a rough day for me. I'm a morning person too. Love the mornings. Love waking up. Love getting a cup of coffee. Love being a little bit chatty.
We never would have known about the coffee. I mean, we never would have known about the coffee after yesterday.
Well, like
is
I
it
said
still
yesterday.
In there? Is the Keurig still in there? Like they're probably looking for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No.
That
you know
was
what?
A whole
you know
thing
what happened?
Yesterday.
No.
This
went,
is a good story.
They went and got another one.
So there's two.
And,
so
somebody's office.
But there was. We were like, well, where'd you get the other one? And they got it out of someone who may be high up in the organization.
GM?
Higher.
You can't ask questions like
Mr.
that
Light?
Live on air, okay?
Maybe.
He's
on
high
some
enough,
NFL committees.
He's high enough up that he doesn't show up to practice every day. Let's put it that way. And they're like, he ain't coming.
And they stole his carry. And I was like, oh, well. I'm just our engineer that does Falcons game, Jake. Jake has a label maker. I'm gonna need to borrow his label maker and put 92.9 on that Keurig.
I wonder if it tastes any different, like more powerful if you drink from that Keurig.
You gotta put the rocket fuel in there.
We'll put it this way. it was a lot more complicated to work because Mike couldn't figure it out.
It was more expensive. Yeah. It was a higher version. Yeah. For sure.
You know what? It was a little bit difficult, and it took a couple of us in there to actually figure out the right buttons. Turns out you have to hit power first before you do anything, even if it's already lit up. Doesn't really matter. Didn't you do that in Alabama? Yeah. Weird. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, or Pensacola.
Already Target. Like, you were like, me and you were cool until like 3 seconds ago. Like 3 seconds ago. You know, stereotypes have died in this world other than people from Alabama. Like, that's the only people it's okay to make fun of anymore.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but I mean, you kind of deserve it. That's the only people that it's okay to stereotype.
Florida's right up on there.
That's true.
Florida?
Florida.
I mean, but I'm also from Florida, so that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean,
that's double whammy.
Well, hold on. He's from Pensacola, which is basically like Alabama's tail.
Oh.
So you're telling me I got the worst of both worlds.
Wait, time out. Yeah. Jersey gets made fun of a lot, too. Well, people are like, oh, it's the armpit of this, like, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, I'm like from Jersey.
Jersey's the armpit?
That's what everyone says. But they haven't been to South Jersey. They're thinking like Secaucus, Newark, like that kind of
stuff. But isn't South Jersey just North Philly?
No. I mean, no.
I'm convinced that every state is two different states.
Beautiful. There's beaches.
I've been up there a lot. I've never seen a garden. Where is the garden?
We're just beautiful. That's all it means. There's no like.
Actually, you know what?
Garden.
I must be on the wrong side.
Literally on Alabama's license plate, it says Alabama the Beautiful. Like that's what it says. I can't make it up. That's what it says. Star spelled Alabama, and Alabama the Beautiful.
Beautiful.
You know what's that old saying? If you tell a lie enough times, you'll believe it.
This guy. You know what cracks me up about this whole thing? And I know we got to get to Falcons. You know what cracks me up about this whole thing? Bo is from Dallas, Georgia. Like, what do you think makes you that much different? Because there's an imaginary line in the dirt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You drive 30 minutes west of Dallas, Georgia. You're in Alabama, and it's the same people.
Hey.
It's the same freaking people.
You sound just like those people.
Zip code is different.
Yeah,
no?
I mean, I guess that makes Bo that much different.
Well, man. I hate to break it to you. That line is real. And it means a lot.
It's an imaginary GPS line. South Jersey and North Jersey.
Okay, I kind of get it because South Jersey and North Jersey.
Thank you.
Some even say there's a Central Jersey, which I'm like, what?
When I said to Allison, I was like, isn't that like North Philly? No, not at all.
Well, look, man, speaking of that, it's Top 5 Tuesday today. We'll get into the college football rankings and Top 5 Tuesday. I know usually it's like a sound cut, whatever it is. It's time to get down to business with college football. So we'll talk about the Top 5 in terms of that. Yesterday, we were in Flowery Branch hanging out up there, and Coach Raheem Morris visited with the media, and he talked about the loss of a certain safety.
Kind of talk about it well beforehand. We got some real significant battle positions for starting roles, whether it be Mike Hughes and Clark, whether it be DeMarco and when it was Richie and all those kind of guys. So they kind of go into it knowing what the fight is and what the competition level is here. And that's really a good thing. You always want to have guys on the competitive level to think that way. But now you got to go out there and compete against the next person. Somebody's going to step up, whether it's Shank, whether it's whoever else on our roster that has the ability to go out there and step up. And we'll get a chance to go see that within the next couple of weeks. And like I said, I really get fired up about these practices. I really get fired about seeing these guys go play against ones versus twos, twos versus ones, have Mamba periods. And that's what we'll get a chance to get this week up until we get to the game. So that'd be fun to watch out people compete again and kind of reset the roster.
Yeah, let's reset that roster. Me and Bo were standing out at practice yesterday, Allison, and...
Was that a dig at me? Because I wasn't.
Well, you know what? I actually regret saying that because you could be right. No, it was not a dig. I respect it. Listen, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll talk about what you were doing yesterday. Yeah.
We did get a couple of questions, and I was like, it's her day off.
Yeah. But we saw Terry on the phone. I mean, Terry's just on the phone, right? And I'm like, dude, I don't know what he's doing, but I'm going to tell myself that he's making moves. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell myself that he's, on the phone with like 8 former Pro Bowlers and doing all these different things. Now, here's the thing. Raheem was also asked yesterday about, will the team look to bring any help in for the safety room?
You know our guys upstairs better than anybody. These guys are continuously just pounding and grinding on the roster. Kyle Smith, Ryan Pace, and Terry, they do a nice job of that and continue to improve. So I definitely could see some things happening over the next couple of weeks and how we go about our business. But I'm excited with all the opportunities and things that they always bring up and present.
I think we have to talk a little bit about some of the news that came down last night, guys. And it's about Justin Simmons possibly visiting. And I know that there's a lot of fans out there that want Hassan Reddick, but Justin Simmons in the fold because of the DeMarco Helms injury and because, you know, they were kind of battling back and forth with Richie Grant a year ago. What do you make, Bo, of the Justin Simmons talk so far?
Well, I think it's very interesting that they lost a pass rusher as well in Braylon Trice, and they're going to try to – they're bringing in a guy like Justin Simmons. Now, look, Justin Simmons is a hell of a football player still. He's still a good player. He, you know, and Allison was, I was asking Allison because she probably can talk more about him and better about him because she covered him. But he kind of reminds you of Jesse Bates in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's good.
So I wonder how that they would bring these two guys in, because one of them would play that strong safety position and be at times more of a box safety.
Yeah, when I was in Denver, like, gosh, 8 years ago now, he was drafted. And the overwhelming, I guess, majority of us would say, first of all, he's a great leader, and that's with Jesse Bates. But he's a ball hawk, and he's also, like, he's always playing every single down, which I know you want to hear, obviously. But, like, that's what you want. And I just think, like, having him here would be a huge asset to the Falcons. But I think at the same time, my concern is the money. Yeah. Like, he's still great. He had six interceptions 2 years ago, yeah. Right? Two-time Pro Bowler. But the money, how are they going to do it? We were talking about who are they going to extend. I mean, that's an issue. Same with, like, you can't get both of them, right? Reddick and also Simmons. So what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, and to your point, there's a pass rusher that could be on the market again. But I don't think this team would ever go get, for a multitude of reasons, that a lot of fans are going to say, well, why are we not going to get a pass rusher? Because that's something we feel like we have not addressed.
Yeah. Well, the Falcons talk will continue to roll on. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We come back. Pitchers duel, you say? Braves win? It was a tight one last night out in San Francisco. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. It's Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Mornings on the Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Channel 2's Allison Mastrangelo, 92.9's Squid Billy, and just Mikey P sitting here hanging out. Beautiful Tuesday morning. Allison was kind of laughing at the fact that today we're not in the studio like we were in Flowery Branch yesterday, and we actually get to see the sun come up.
Yes.
Which it's kind of on its way. So I hope everybody's enjoying a little bit of drive out there. We were talking about the Falcons last.
Aren't you 92.9's Mike Johnson?
Yeah.
You didn't identify it when you were identifying.
Okay, hang on. Let me try again. 92.9's Mike Johnson and the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network's Squid Billy. How about that?
All American.
You know what I mean? Shut up.
He's a national champion too.
Yeah.
Did you know he used to play for the Falcons?
I had no idea.
Oh yeah.
And for Alabama too.
Yeah, that's why I have to tell people these things.
Mm. Y'all done? Here's the thing. I got my coffee. I'm in a good mood. Y'all are trying to put me in a bad mood. I won't let it happen. You know who else is going to be in a good mood eventually? Is probably Hassan Reddick, but I don't know that it's coming in Atlanta. He's going to have to get his bag at some point, right? Like, the Jets look so bad in this entire ordeal. Hassan Reddick gets traded to the Jets. He wants an extension. They tell him they'll give him one, and they still haven't even seen the guy. Like, he hasn't shown up at all. Now he has asked for a trade, and we were kind of talking about it before the show. A lot of Falcons fans wondering why the Falcons would not be in on a guy like Hassan Reddick, and I think both of y'all we're kind of on the same page saying, look, man, financially, this is just a team that cannot make enough moves to bring in a guy like that.
Yeah, you really can't.
No, and I don't think, let's be honest with you, no one's told me this. This is my opinion. I don't think they want to bring in Hassan Reddick. I don't, and you can say, well, why wouldn't they want to bring in, what, 27 sacks in the last 2 years? Well, there's a reason why they decided not to trade for him when he was on the trade market. And earlier this year, and then not re-up him. There's also something really weird about this story to me, that the Jets traded for him, and then they couldn't get a deal done. Either what is he asking for, or what have they learned about him in this time frame that they don't want to pay him? That's what's weird to me. And I understand getting paid. I'm all about players getting paid. There's no doubt about that. I know that you only have a short time to play in the NFL, and you need to capitalize financially as much as you can, or it's gone. But why are two teams now who want to win right now, whose coaches have to win this year, unwilling to pay this guy who seemingly can help you win? There is something weird about all of that to me.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that. The culture is huge, we know, and the ethos for the Falcons. Ethos. So to bring in Hassan Reddick, I mean, The Eagles are Super Bowl contenders. He was on that Super Bowl team. I'm not going to lie. I double-checked your math. You're right on the 27 sacks in 2 years. I was very impressed with that. I was like, what? You know, two-time Pro Bowler in the last two years.
Don't be impressed with him.
Yeah.
You're making my life tough.
I was like, dang, you did that really early this morning.
Yeah, it's not bad for a guy that wasn't an All-American or national champion, right?
If you ask my producer, Justin Reed, I'm always like doing math on my calculator. And he's like, what are you doing? But yeah, I think it comes down. There's got to be something, you know, in the culture of that. Because if you have Super Bowl contenders like the Eagles, and they don't want him, and now he wants a trade, it's just it's a bad look. It's a bad vibe. I don't want it.
Look, and we're gonna get to Braves here in just a second. But here's what I'll say about this: the Falcons were out on Danielle Hunter, who reportedly offered Danielle Hunter pretty good money in the neighborhood of 2 years, $50 million.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Hassan Reddick wants, but I think he wants longer term, right? Mm-hmm. He's looking for like Myles Garrett money, right around $25 million a year, reportedly. He's making $15 million this year, so it's not like he's not showing up for anything, but $15 million on the docket in his final year of his contract. He's looking for the Myles Garrett money. I think if they were going to be willing to do that period, they would have done it with Danielle Hunter on the two-year contract that they tried to get done back in, you know, March or February.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I just think that people are going to look at it and say, well, we lost Braylon Trice. We need to address this. And I think they have a plan, but I think that the Justin Simmons fits into what they want to do more, and that's why they are willing to bring him in. Also, let's just be honest, Justin Simmons isn't going to roll in here and make $15 million,
right,
or sign a long-term contract of making, what, $20 to $25 million a year.
Also, I feel confident in saying this because I was myself a third-round pick, but Braylon Trice was a third-round pick at outside edge.
I was just going to say that. I was looking at it. I was like, he hasn't proven himself yet.
Right, no. You know? And look, here's the thing. And I was asked this the other day. Braylon Trice is like a great year for Braylon Trice this year. 4 sacks.
So
a great year for Braylon Trice. If you look at the history of third-round edge rushers, a great year would have been 4 sacks.
So your thing is that they were not in their mind saying, well, this is a guy that's going to give us 8 to 10 sacks this year.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And if they were absolutely freaking mistaken. I mean, let's just be honest about it. And like I said, I feel confident saying that because I was myself a guy in those shoes. So I'm not talking down about Braylon Trice. I'm just telling you the facts. Look at the guys who were third-round outside edge rushers and how many sacks they've been able to get. The guys that have gotten 10 in their rookie year, it's just non-existent. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even happen. So yeah, it's not even worth talking about. All right, we got to go out to San Francisco and talk about the Braves last night. Great game, I guess. I mean, it's one of those, you know, you watch football games, it's 9-6 kind of, you know, college football game. It's just what it is. But it was a pitcher's duel last night. You had two of the best in the business, especially when you talk about left-handers going at it last night, and Blake Snell and Chris Sale, and that's kind of a tongue twister, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I have a problem when people say it can't be a great game and it's a 1-0 game and you have literally the former the reigning Cy Young winning pitcher of the National League going against a former Cy Young winner in Chris Sale, and all they do is go out there and combine for, I don't know, was it 23 strikeouts?
Oh, more math.
13 and a third innings pitch.
We can't math that early.
And maybe like 5 hits combined or something. Yeah, it was a phenomenal game.
33 strikeouts, Dylan says in my ear. I'm going to
give
him credit.
Oh, did you say 23? You're talking
about it. How did the two pitchers that started combine when they had 12 and 13 strikeouts? How's that 33?
I don't remember the exact number. Okay. It's hold on. Let me defend myself. The number is on the show sheet. I'm just going to say that. Oh. Whatever the number is, it's on
all
the
right,
show
let's
sheet.
Let's do this real quick. This is Chris Sale's number. 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 12 strikeouts, 0 earned runs, 107 pitches. Snell's were 6 1/3, 2 hits, 3 walks, 11 Ks. 11
definitely
plus 12
33 by both
is
teams.
23. But I was talking about the starting pitchers.
So combined 33 strikeouts.
Yeah, but he says it's by the starters. I don't think that's possible by the starters. I think it's both just teams, period. Because Rysel had 4, I believe, in his 2 innings pitch. So
they would have to have like 18 and 15 to have 33
by
the starting pitchers.
I don't know. This thing right here says combined 33 strikeouts marked the most by 2 starting pitchers.
That's not accurate.
And let me push back a little bit. I would make the argument that the game might have been a good game. I don't know that it was entertaining. I don't think you would come out of that
you
game
know,
and say it's entertaining.
No,
chicks dig the long ball. Chicks dig the long ball.
Well,
that's bottom line.
I think that they're – I think
just chicks?
I guess I would have to lump myself in with that. You know?
I disagree. I think there's something entertaining about watching two guys at the top of their game and two of the best that we've seen in the last, you know, Blake Snell's, when he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. There's something fun about watching those guys duel. Now, you go back and you look at it. We talked about it this morning, Allison. That was a big win for the Braves because of basically the, you and I were talking about it before the show, a playoff team wins that game.
Yeah, 100%. I know we were picking words yesterday. I'd say that was gritty. You know, that was a gritty win.
Wow.
You know?
Good word.
Yeah.
Golly, because can you come on the tough. Phone and do One Word Wednesday tomorrow? We'll just make a special exception.
Make a special I can come exception. Back, no worries. Yeah. I can be here.
One Word Wednesday.
We don't even do One Word Wednesday anymore, but we could make a special exception tomorrow, do One Word Wednesday.
But yeah, no, I think that was a huge win because that kind of showed what you're made of, even with everything that you're going through. And I saw this tweet that I thought was fascinating from Justin Tassano of the AJC when he talked about the outfield, and he said it's Jorge Soler, Ramon Laureano, and Adam Duvall. And I, like, we talked about half those guys, they weren't even in spring training.
Only one of those guys was with you when you broke it.
Yeah.
And he didn't join you until like a week before it ended.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. It's, and that is why so many people have been, including you yesterday, who were leveling us out yesterday when we were both in our feelings about
didn't
this
team. Didn't want to hear it. I was like, no, I don't want to hear it.
But that's why you're like, tread water. Get to the playoffs, you never know. And look, they still got to get to the playoffs. They're only a game up on the Mets in that third spot. They're four back of the Padres and Diamondbacks, who have been red hot as of late. But what was it? You said you told me the Phillies come to town. Is it next week?
Yeah, Phillies and Nationals are next week. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, it is big. You went really red hot with the bats. You go face a guy like Snell, who has been literally the definition of unhittable. His last couple of outings, one of them was a no-hitter.
I was going to say, he came off the injured list, eight starts ago, something like that, and he has been, I mean, I think his ERA is under one in that stretch. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, my fantasy team is liking it.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Max Fried was supposed to anchor my fantasy team, and that looks not good. I also have, speaking of which, I also have Michael Harris on my fantasy team, and that's not been good either.
That's
me too.
When he hit that 60-day IL, I was like, dude, this is brutal. And I asked Grant McCauley before the year. I was like, Grant, Michael Harris, keeper, first-round pick, what are we dealing with? Dynasty League? Absolutely Dynasty League. Go for it. Well, I tell you what, Grant, he's coming back reportedly on Wednesday.
Yes.
So it can't be fast enough for what I've got going on in my fantasy squad right now.
Look, another big game tonight because you got Morton going on the mound against Kyle Harrison. Harrison is a guy with only three pitches, and his four-seamer is going to top average out around 93, and he's got a slurve and a change. This is a guy you can hit, but the reality of the situation is, Mike, what did you tell me this morning?
I don't know.
When I said Morton versus Harrison.
Oh, yeah. They're saying the same things that we are.
Yes, they
are.
We
can get this guy.
They are.
We can get this guy.
So we need vintage Charlie Morton tonight.
Yes, we do.
All right. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, do you like to surf? And
yes.
Do you live in Atlanta?
Yes.
Well, I got good news. And Allison Mastrangelo is heading it up. She's hooking it up. A special timeout coming up on the other side of the break. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Don't touch that dial.
This is The Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, The Morning Shift. The sun is rising over the eastern sky. Allison, you like that? Huh?
Who like that?
A little bit of sun out there. We've already said that you're a morning person. Now, I will say, we got to talk about this before we get to the timeout.
Can I see Stone Mountain from here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
It is.
Depends on what direction. I will say this.
You're not going to see it.
I can see it on.
It is it.
From somewhere over here.
I can see it.
Where?
Right here.
I think that's Kennesaw Mountain.
Yeah, that's not Stone Mountain.
He just said yes.
It's over there.
Nah, it is. He's mistaken. That's north. That's north. That
so
was
you know north. How to tell the difference between Stone Mountain and Kennesaw Mountain? Is one has trees on the
it's
top.
It's just a silhouette right now. Stone Mountain be that way. all right. Hang on. I got to get to this. So Allison's, we're going downstairs to meet Allison in the lobby to get in the building, right? And Allison, security guard, was just kind of watching over her. And he goes, hey. what was it called?
He's like, hey. He's like, you trying to get the body rock?
Keep in mind, it's 5 a.m. Yeah. It's 5 a.m. The security guard, hey, trying to get the body rock or what?
Do I look like I need to go to body rock?
I'm sorry, what? So, and you kind of explained what this is, and I don't know if he explained
so
to you, body rock.
I don't know if it's hot Pilates. It's hot some type Pilates. Of Pilates. I don't know if it's hot Pilates. I don't want to miss.
Are you a Pilates person, period?
Heck yeah. Body, like
are
the
you
reformer
workout class
Pilates.
Period? You
oh,
do yeah. workout
I got
classes?
Class pass, man.
Class pass?
Oh, yeah, I'm legit. Golly. I bounce
Our
around.
Our buddy Domer used to have class pass, man.
Love it.
You get the yoga in. You go do what? What else is on class pass?
Anything you want.
Yeah.
Like I do yoga.
Like Orange Theory or something?
No, not everyone's on it. Yoga. I do like boot camps. I do.
Do boxing.
Boxing's on it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anything you want is. I've taken some weird classes. I love that.
It is Pilates inspired 45 minute full body strength training group classes. That's what it is. Yeah, I guess that's good because normally the security guard I see is asleep in his car.
Aww, he was so nice. He was really nice. He let me in. He's just like, you need
like, hey, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, bowing out the other door, so then I'm chasing. I'm not bow. Mike, I'm like, come here.
Yeah, that was. We look a little different. I was
looking at him talking about
that's
you.
Okay. That's okay. Tiff does that all the time. He's like, you know, there's Bo. Oh, no, that's Mike. That's unfortunate. Now, I will say this. And
don't get offended. I mean, there's nothing wrong being called me.
That's right. We're just a little bit different.
I know. We get it. You're an All-American, national champion.
That's right.
You played for the Falcons. We get it, Mike.
You can see him getting red as he's saying it.
Oh, that's why I do it.
Allie, I will say that, you know, and I'm curious what your thoughts on this. We asked Tiffany one day. We were just like, hey, how well does Bo know Tiffany? So we did a questionnaire, and I asked Tiffany what her most prized possession was.
Oh.
Besides her dog.
One guess? You got a guess?
There's no way she's ever going to guess it, but it has to do with this exact topic. You know what it was?
Her barbell.
Her kettlebells.
Her kettlebells. Yeah, I knew it was something fitness related.
So when she's going to the Olympics, I'm like, you going to miss your kettlebells or what? Yeah. You going to try to pack those things? I'm sure you're going to be over the limit. You throw them 15
pounds. She'd probably find those in the
there.
Olympic Village. I don't know.
She's like, I'm sure I can find some somewhere. But I think she said, didn't she say she'd already contacted a trainer over there or something before she left? I was
that
like,
that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about surfing in the Atlanta area. Let's hit a timeout.
It's time for a timeout on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So yesterday, we're wrapping up the show. We're doing a little bit of crossover, Stakey and Drew Butler. We're kind of chopping it up on all the Falcon stuff. Me and Bo are just, we're ready. We're like, hey, let us out to practice. Want to see some pads banging out there. We were talking to Kyle Pitts, which you'll hear in about 15 minutes. And, you know, we're thinking Miss Credentialed Media Member over here, Channel 2, is going to be following us out. And she just throws the bag over the shoulder, and she's like, I'm out.
It's a goodbye.
Yo, hey, no, the field. Allison, you've been here before. The field's this way. And she's like, no, I'm going surfing. Dude, of all things, of all things that could have hit my ears in that moment, I think surfing was the most shocking. Tell us and tell the people what exactly you were doing yesterday and where.
I was going wake surfing at Lake Lanier, so before everyone freaks out,
okay.
It's great. You go in the morning, there's not a lot of people.
It's
but
very,
yeah.
Very glassy in
there's
the morning.
There's like a whole, so when I moved here, so I love surfing, grew up surfing. There was a surf team in high school that I was on. We competed in California, the Nationals, all that stuff. Yes, Jersey has waves. Everyone's like, Jersey has waves? Yes, we have waves. So fun fact, whenever I move somewhere, I try to find things. When I was in Colorado, I was on the Meetup app trying to find things I put in surfing as a joke. Found river surfing, which is awesome. I met them. I did a story on them. So cool. So here I was doing the same thing. I'm like, I miss surfing. I mean, we're close to the beach, but it's like 4 hours. So I put in surfing and I came across Surf ATL. So it's a whole group called Surf ATL and they have boats and anyone that wants to, you can go out, you sign up and you can go wake surfing and they teach you how to wake surf and it's such a cool group of people and a community. And then I started talking with them and they're going to build a surf park here in Atlanta. And everyone's like, what? A surf park? Yeah. Like Kelly Slater style. And it's awesome. Like, let me see if I can. He told me where it's going to be. It's going to be, what did I say? It's somewhere right in Gainesville.
Yeah, it's got to be Lake Lanier up in the north end.
Now,
right? Browns Bridge Road is what you said.
Yes, Browns Bridge Road. Bridge That's Road. What I said.
This wake surf group.
Yeah.
So what is that into? Can I just like drive up there and say, hey, I want to join your group? Do I have to have a boat? Like what
no,
do I
you
need?
Don't need a boat. You just got to go online.
You
got to
know the right people.
Yeah, well, you go on their Instagram and then you can sign up. Like every month they release dates. They have a really cool one where you can do like, it's all girls. It's mostly on like Sundays. So you can do Sunday morning. They do some in Altoona too, or Sunday nights. And they take you out for, you know, you sign up, you pay like a little fee, and then they teach you it. And they're so cool because I surf, and wake surfing and surfing are a little different. Like, they're not one and the
slightly,
same.
Yeah.
You've wake surfed before, right, Mike?
Yeah. Well,
it's also different than wakeboarding. Everyone's doing wakeboarding. Well,
I attempted it. Yeah. I wouldn't say I wake surf. I thought about it.
I've actually wake surfed before. I've wakeboarded before too, but I wake surf because it's I think it's easier than wakeboarding.
Yes.
But it's also not as intense. I feel like wakeboarding.
Yeah.
Wakeboarding is a little bit more intense. I think wake surfing is more of like more fun.
What are you doing?
Relaxing fun. Does that make sense?
You're doing helicopter spins with your wakeboarding.
No, but it's just like wakeboarding.
Wakeboarding's hard.
You're literally as far back as you can be.
Yeah.
And you're it's rougher. It's much rougher when you're in the wake. When you're wake surfing, Allison, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but you're just kind of riding in the middle of that wake and you're just back and forth and it's a little, you're closer to the boat.
But once you're good, you're doing like tricks and 360. Yeah. So the guy I was out with yesterday, Sean Harris and his wife, they're awesome. He actually like competes in like competitions. That's how good he is. And so I'm like, I'm going to start taking lessons from him because I was like, I want to be good at this. I need a new hobby. So I'm like, I'm going to go up once a week. Who knows? I'm going to become a professional wake surfing
legend.
Did you do any tricks?
My trick was staying on the board.
What are we doing here? I did one
little carve, and in my head, I was like, that's so cool. Oh, I went and looked at the video, and I was like, oh, my God, that was not that good.
Look, for seven-some-odd years, I had a boat with a wake rack out on Lake Lanier. We would have a lot of fun. That was a lifetime ago, though.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I don't know what happened. Something about kids and a family. I don't know what happened to me. And I became so uncool.
That gets in the way sometimes.
So uncool. It does get in the way.
But I love water. Give me a puddle and I'm happy. Like, you know, like I just love it.
Hey, speaking of kids and a family, coming up on the other side of the break, Bo and I caught up with Kyle Pitts yesterday. It's his first training camp as a dad. Don't want to miss his answer about how much sleep he's getting during training camp. That's coming up on the other side of the break. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Allison Mastrangelo from Channel 2. Squid Billy from the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
And 92.9 The Game.
You like that?
I'm both. I'm the executive producer.
Do I get to have both
of
them
the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Yeah, you're the... Yeah, Mike Johnson.
The pregame.
But only one has the All-American.
Pre-half. Yes, right. Pre-half and
I don't
post.
Do half.
Okay, well, pre and post game.
I don't know if you ever listen to a game broadcast. I don't do half.
Oh, no. You know, I wouldn't know what that's like. Yeah. Please tell me more.
Yeah, I will. Once you put the show sheet together, I'll let you know. I don't include myself in that. That's all Chris Goforth. And honestly, a lot of fun with Chris on Friday, man. Worked a little bit late night. The schedule's different for the Atlanta Falcons, and we'll get to the Kyle Pitts interview in just a second. But it was me and Chris were kind of joking. You do pre, and he does half, and we both do post. But last year, and Alice, you know this just as well as anybody, every Falcons game was Sunday at 1 o'clock. And there was a London game at 10 a.m., and there was a West Coast game at 4 p.m. But other than that, they were all Sunday at 1 o'clock.
We had one 4 o'clock game.
That's what I said. Yeah, we got a West Coast.
And guess what? Guess what? I'm pumped, Allison, because, see, I would come, like, when we came home from London, I came straight here and slept in my office for, like,
sleeping bag.
In a sleeping bag on the floor for, like, 2 hours.
You were on your desk when I got here.
And, yeah, that was the trip before I had the sleeping bag.
What?
Yeah, and then, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm dedicated.
He's married to the game.
Did he say you under the desk or on the desk?
On it.
On.
And it was not comfortable.
Yeah, and right now, in her head, she's going, how do you fit on the desk?
Because I'm 5'8", 155 pounds.
I wasn't going to say it, but I could see her wheel spinning.
5'8 and a half, I should say.
I could see her wheel spinning. Now, it is an L-shaped desk, and he did have it. Yeah, I had the legs planked, but that's, you know.
But the funny part is you know, he would come in, I wouldn't say fresh, but refresh, because he'd been able to. No, you were fresh. You got normal sleep on those nights.
Yeah,
not me.
Days. Those were good
days. And you know, now I'll give him credit. He felt for me. He was a good teammate. But
look, I let that man get an extra 15 before I knocked on his door and woke him up. You know, I'm like, man,
nice.
I'm gonna give that man some space.
All that said, he texted me that day. What's your plan for September 17th? And I was like, am I supposed to have a plan for that day? I don't know what day is that.
Plan, like, are you gonna be back in time? That's the question. You're going to get straight off the plane and go straight on to air.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So he was talking about the Monday night game, Allison, which we have now.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's the first time we've had one since I've been here in 5 years.
No way.
I feel like it is.
No way.
I feel like it is.
You know what?
Maybe there's one. Maybe there's... No, I think there's been Thursday, Sunday.
You know what? She might be right. The last Monday night game we might have had might have been 2019 against the Giants. I think the last Monday night game we had was 2019 at home against the Giants. I think you're right.
That is unbelievable.
We got to double check that. Right. Dylan, get day-to-day.
All right, man. Speaking of good night sleeps and playing a little bit of football, yesterday, Bo and I caught up with Kyle Pitts. First question, you get more sleep in training camp or at home with that baby?
At training camp, I take as much naps and free time. I use that is to get it in and while I can. So before
Packers?
I go home and got to run around with him.
Packers, it, man. Right?
So it's obviously, like I said, your first training camp with the kid at the house. Do you find your energy being different? Man, you're still a young guy. You're still a young dad. But you're obviously in year four, man. But things have definitely changed for you.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. I have a newfound motivation that's always just, you know, attached to me, you know, for the rest of my life. So it's a pretty good thing to have in the back of my mind and just a way to, you know, keep him in my mind and at the forefront. And, you know, that's my reason.
I saw your video when you found out you were having a boy, man. It's awesome stuff. My first one was a boy. My second one was a girl. How's it been so far being a boy dad? And I know he's still a small one, but you got a football in his hands yet or not?
No, not yet. I'll let him pick up whatever he wants to. But he's fun. He's running around now. He's talking and hitting on things. So it's pretty fun.
All right, Kyle, you kind of got back to a regular offseason last year. You're kind of rehabbing. What were you able to work on in your craft this offseason when you could actually really focus on the football side of things?
Just get in and out of my routes like I used to be, like I used to be able to do. And just being just as most explosive as I can, getting stronger, faster, and, you know, mentally stronger as well.
Now, when this new coaching staff guy here, Zach Robinson, he's bringing a new scheme, was that did they sit you down and talk to you about your role in this offense going forward? Because it obviously looks like it might change a little bit.
I mean, yeah, they definitely sat me down and, you know, we had the conversation with, you know, Coach Koger, Z-Rob, and Raheem as well, and just telling me, you know, what they need from me and what I can bring to the team. And, you know, I'm just trying to implement that every day.
Now, when you heard the news that Kirk Cousins was coming to town, what was your first thought? How happy was that for you?
It was amazing. He's a veteran, and I love playing with veterans. And, you know, from Matt, he was my rookie year. He showed me a lot, and I seen, you know, what he brings to the table and, you know, how he can help you be a better player.
All right, man, so you talk about getting in and out of your routes. I mean, look, there's still some 21 personnel being thrown around out there, hand in the dirt a little bit. I've seen you going up against a lot of these veteran outside linebackers. Talk to me about that group, man, and just how good they've been. A lot of people talking about James Smith-Williams and, you know, Lorenzo Carter. You've been squaring up with them, man. How's that group been?
I mean, they're great guys, great competitors. It's always great going against them. They get me better each day, and I hope I do the same thing likewise and, you know, just helping me get back right.
Now, I think a lot of people, Kyle, point towards this season. I think a big category for me, at least, watching the team, the yak numbers, right? Being able to catch the ball in stride, get up the field. Obviously, a huge thing for you coming out of Florida. It's a big reason why you're in Atlanta. Talk to me about how nice it's going to be the first time you catch that ball in stride and show off that 4.4 speed and break off about a 70 or 80 yarder, because we're going to love it, man.
Definitely. It's going to be amazing just putting in the reps now in camp, getting my body, you know, used to that, and so that, you know, when we come September 8th, they'll be ready.
Like, you talked about working with a veteran, like when you had Matt here and now you got Kirk again. You know, there's been a lot made of y'all's relationship. Seems like he's talked about kind of pushing you a little bit. How is that important? Has that been for you as training camp's been going underway?
I mean, it's very good. You know, he's seen a lot of ball. He's seen a lot of great players, great tight ends, receivers as well. So, you know, if he sees something and sees the potential, it's just up to me to be there, you know, when the ball's ready so that, you know, I can excel in this offense.
We get a little bit away from football. Your golf game. I've heard guys have played with you in the Cherries. I heard you're an avid golfer. How's the golf game looking this fall? Did you miss any golf because of the new kid?
A little bit, but, you know, definitely haven't played in a long time. But when I was shooting pretty low towards the end of the summer.
Did your the injury that you had to overcome with the ACL, did that affect your golf game a lot?
Would it be in my right leg? Not as much as you thought it would have been if it was my left. But so it didn't really affect it that much.
All right, and real quick, I got back to football. I've been asking everyone, and we've had some real animated answers. I think Drake's was still probably the best about the Guardian cap, because you can wear it in a game. Would you ever wear the Guardian cap in a game?
No. Firm no.
I think you're the third person who's giving us a one-word answer to that. All right, finishing up with Kyle Pitts right here. Last thing, Kyle. We've been asking everybody – other than clothes, man, packing for training camp. We've gotten, Jake Matthews said foam roller. Drake London said box fan. I think Arnold Abakady was a PS5. What do you got to throw in the bag when you're coming? Look, you got to stay at training camp for, you know, 3 weeks. You're staying away from family. What do you got to put in the bag other than clothes?
I wouldn't say in the bag, but in the room I have my hyperbaric, so that's a pretty key component in my recovery. So sleeping in that for a couple hours a night and then hopping out and just, you know, staying hydrated.
All right, man, that's Kyle Pitts, tight end one, baby.
Yeah, my hyperbaric chamber is a big part of my recovery as well. You know what I mean? After I get out there and get on my grind. Although I did have teammates that had those. It was kind of a big deal. Also, I remember, who was it? I had a teammate that did like the zero gravity salt floating thing like that. Was that Coy Wire?
Oh, I've tried that.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, I've done that.
So that always looked pretty cool. But nonetheless, man, Kyle Pitts was a lot of fun yesterday. Appreciate him visiting with us and kind of chopping it up. He was very matter-of-fact with his answers, and he looks like he's all about his business this year. I don't know if you kind of picked up on that, Bo, but he had that eye of the tiger. Like, he's like, man, I'm all about my business right now. You know what I mean?
It's kind of cool because this is the first time that I remember him feeling like he's like a grizzled veteran. You know, he's only like 23 years old. Like, I think we forget how young Kyle Pitts is and was, and he kind of seems like he has matured a lot. And it wasn't like he was an overly immature person, Allison. I mean, you've dealt with him as much as I have since he's been here, but it just feels like there's a different feel around him this year for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of them is he's feeling like fully healthy, I think, in a long time. I think he's feeling more confident as well. That always helps too. But I think you guys, even though we know he's not the longest talker, I think he's longer than Brock Bowers, but he doesn't say a lot. But, you know, I think we're seeing a little bit more from him just in interviews, personality wise. When I was talking with the tight ends coach, Kevin Coker, someone asked him about Kyle Pitts, and he was just like, you can hear him coming before he gets in the meetings. He's like blasting music. And he's like, he always has music and songs going. So I just think like we're starting to see and learn. And maybe it's because he's a dad too. Like maybe that's a different perspective of him as a player. I don't know if you get the dad powers.
I will say, and here's what I think is a little bit of the difference. If I had gone through last season the way he did and we signed Kirk Cousins and I was a tight end and I was really hoping to go off in a, you know, year four setting, I'd be bebopping around that place.
Well, look
too.
What he did with Matt Ryan, you know, when he had a quarterback, right?
I would be bouncing around yards, that facility as well. I'd be like, let's go.
Right.
I think, too, that when you're a guy like kind of like Kyle, who is a talented player, and it doesn't matter what field you're talented at your job, but you had some down years or some lean years or struggled, injury, whatever it might be, I think you get a guy like a Kirk Cousins who comes in and just kind of exudes the confidence. And you can feed off that. And people, if you get the right people around you in these kind of conditions, it can unlock you, not only your talent, but your confidence can come back. And I think being healthy, along with having a Kirk Cousins and knowing what it can mean for him and knowing what he had with Matt, maybe it unlocked Kyle a little bit, that confidence. Not to mention, Kirk is definitely, I don't want to say use the word mentor, because you're like, how can a quarterback mentor a tight end up being a tight end? But I think there is some mentorship there as far as being a professional and maybe reclaiming his glory days.
I think any athlete that goes through an injury comes back a little bit different, right? Whether they're like they have something to prove or you've just been through adversity, I think it makes you stronger, makes you maybe appreciate the game a little bit more too.
Yeah.
So I think all of that, and like you said, when you have a Kirk Cousins coming in, I think it gives you confidence. Like, all right, now I have a quarterback who knows what he's doing. He's going to get me the ball more. That kind of things, you know. So yeah, I think all of that plays into it.
I also wonder too, and because I had teammates that went through this. I did not have kids when I played, but I had teammates that would kind of go through that process of getting married, having kids, starting a family. And you have to imagine, and you guys know this as well as anybody, your life kind of calms down in a lot of ways, even though it gets crazy. It gets crazy.
I mean,
in
I wouldn't know,
ways.
But
right. Well, but you know what I mean.
As a dog mom, yes, I do know.
you like have all this other stuff going on, and like, I mean, Kyle Pitts is not going wake surfing.
Right? No,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Like, right after, yeah.
So you know, life becomes a little more regimented, and it calms down a little bit, and you can focus a little more on your craft.
My babies will be wake surfing at a young age.
I also don't know, but I do know that I could go wake surfing right after work if I wanted.
You got a great wife. You got a great wife.
I do.
Yeah. He does. Yeah. I don't know what
I'm pretty lucky.
That whole thing.
You must have a great one, too.
Yeah. She's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I love you.
No.
How do you say? You better back that out real quick.
I don't know if anybody. I don't know if anybody heard Allison, but it was the Packers.
I know.
Yeah.
I know you're all wondering. I know you're all wondering. So
live microphone during the Kyle Pitts interview.
Rookie.
Oh, it was the Packers.
Rookie.
That Giants game that I was talking about, I'm pretty sure was 18. They played the Eagles in 19 on Monday Night Football. That was the Holyoke because
before I was here.
Yeah, somebody, Uncle Steve on Twitter texted me and was like, "Hey, when was that? When was that? Take it to the house, Jake Matthews with he comes out and out wide and hits the block that Julio frees him. Then you, I know which was music your ears. Then the Packers game as Allison told all of us during the Kyle Pitts interview. Was
I didn't want them waiting so long during that interview. I wanted to tell them.
Yeah, you just couldn't contain it. Could
no,
you?
I
mean, I get it. Look, I trust me. You know, though,
it doesn't count. It was a pandemic, so it doesn't really count. Monday night though,
and it was in Green Bay, so it really doesn't count. But I'll say this though: that the more and more I think about Kyle Pitts last year, the more and more it reminds me of what Ronald Acuna was in 22. And how he just wasn't, he was a shell of himself. You could see Kyle run routes last year, looked like a shell of himself. You could see when contact was coming, he almost seemed to shy away from it. Yeah. And I just don't think that's going to be the case this year.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. You know, you just said we'd take it to the house a minute ago, and I was telling Dylan, I was like, boy, you got the Slip and Slide Express. I was like, damn. Yeah, we won't play. Anyways, we got to go to break, man. We'll talk about the Braves on the other side. And also the latest in the NFL when we go in the huddle. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 910. Let Money Mar get off your derriere. We off the chain for the whole year. So if you look good with a big old butt, live in your own crib and make your own bucks. Hit me up, TreyPlus.com, and tell me where you from. Smoke
out, choke out, we It's more than just sports talk. This is the Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Out to left field. Soler charges. He's got it! And after the toughest loss of the season yesterday, the Braves get one of the grittiest wins of 2024. A 1-0 10-inning victory.
Woo, that man Chris Sale's a bad dude now. That's a bad dude. Morning Shift, Sports Radio. 92.9 A Game this hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. And I like when I hear Brendan Gaughan say after the most disappointing loss of the season yesterday, I think he's probably right just because of how it happened. I don't know if it was the worst loss of the season, but definitely probably the most disappointing. But nonetheless, the Braves get it put together out in San Francisco in an absolute throwdown pitcher's duel that Bo said was just – he was on the edge of his seat. It was a thriller yesterday.
I don't know how you guys don't enjoy those games. Like, I don't – I can enjoy a 1-0 baseball game where there's 23 combined strikeouts from the starters, 33 total in the game. And just like I can enjoy, a 9-8 game where your bullpen blows it and an 8-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth inning. I think both can be enjoyable.
Let me phrase it this way: I can enjoy it without thinking it's entertaining. Does that happen? Is that possible?
But I think, respect it. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I think that's actually a way better way of putting it. I respected it.
Okay. Let me ask you this: why is it more entertaining to watch hitters do their thing, but not pitchers do theirs?
I like action on the base paths. I like the thrill of having a guy go first, third, trying to leg it out, trying to do all those things.
But the drama of a game where two starting pitchers are locked in like that is the fact that one mistake anywhere in that game by either that guy or an outfielder or an infielder, an umpire, anything can make that game. I mean, one of the greatest World Series games of all time was 1991's Game 7 between the Twins and the Braves where Jack Morris pitched 10 innings – complete game win, and John Smoltz went like 9 innings.
And Allie's like, and a month later, I was born.
I was just going to say, I was like, I'm not going to tell you how old I was.
Bo was 13.
I was 8.
Yeah.
It's funny.
No, and I agree with you, man. Look, man, the bottom line is the Braves get it done yesterday, even if it was an extra innings. I thought, to your point earlier about Raisel Iglesias going 2 innings, getting 4 Ks, absolute masterclass for him after ups and downs the last couple of days as far as the bullpen goes. He's able to step in and get it done. He remains just a consistent factor. AJ Minter having the injury issues. This has been a staff top to bottom that has been very, very good, bullpen included, all year. And then recently, obviously you have the injuries in the starting rotation, and then all of a sudden, you know, the bullpen starts to fall apart yesterday, and the Minter news comes out, and it's just like, what is next? But look, Allison said it to us yesterday, man. Get to me in a month, and I'll let you know how they're doing. I'm worried that a month from now, that, you know, if they don't play like they did yesterday, that they're not even in contention a month from now. But that's just me. That's how I approach my Braves fandom. Bo is the opposite. He's bright side Bo when it comes to the Braves. So it is what it is, man. But a big win last night, so I'm happy
for you. You're going to have Ozzy, cool. Michael Harris back, Michael Max Fried will be in the group. So yeah. I'm feeling so good about my September.
Yeah, win the series. Win the series this weekend, right? This is a four-game series, so you need to win three games.
It's the Angels,
series.
Right? Let's hope.
Yeah, it's the Angels. So you would like to think you can take 2 or 3 from the Angels.
Yep.
And then come home, and you have that series with Philadelphia, which is looming. It's a 7-game lead. They have struggled mightily.
That's going to be a fun series.
If you can win 5 of your next 7.
That's going to have playoff vibes, I feel like.
It is. And that's my point with that game last night is...
That was not that, playoff vibes.
It might not have been because of who you were playing, but the fact, the way those pitchers went at it, the way those pitchers played...
Okay, I'll give you that.
And you had to have that win last night. A playoff team wins a game like last night and with a rebound after what happened on Sunday. So hopefully that is what we're getting from now on.
I know it's old, but I love the extra innings rule when they start the guy on second, too. I think that's great.
I actually...
I love it! No!
Here's the only change I'd make. In the 10th inning, I'd put a runner on first. In the 11th, I'd put a runner on second.
Ooh.
And in the 12th, I'd put a runner on third.
Okay, I like that. That's my line. I like that. I like that.
A little slight buildup. It's like, all right, let's get this thing knocked out. But you put a runner on second, you basically have to score in the
10th. I like that.
Or I would just play baseball like you did the other 9 innings.
Well, then you end up with 21 inning games.
Yeah,
like
that's what I mean.
The past,
and the guys are exhausted. Then that's injuries. Like, it's just not.
Look,
yeah,
I would
hate for guys to be exhausted. You know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be the fanboy. Well, I hate to see guys make millions of dollars being exhausted.
They're human beings, okay?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of guys that are exhausted. They're human beings and women and men that work hard for less money.
All right, let's go in the hole.
Now you make me sound
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the morning shift.
Well, speaking of guys working hard for less money, Hassan Reddick.
He's not working for anything right now. He's losing money.
I can't cover that one up, man. Speaking of guys working hard for less money, Hassan Reddick still hasn't showed up at training camp. The Pro Bowl edge rusher that was traded to the New York Jets is looking for a contract extension. He is set to make $14.25 million in base pay this year. That's on the that's the last year of a 3-year, $45 million contract. We talked about it earlier, guys. Hassan Reddick not showing up doesn't bode well for anybody. The Jets have come out and made a statement saying, we're not negotiating with anybody not here. And look, man, it is what it is. He needs to show up to camp and get busy, and then we'll talk about it later. Hassan Reddick said, nah, I'm good, man. I don't even know y'all. I'm not showing up anywhere. I don't like New York. I don't want to be a part of this. No, he didn't say that for real, but he's not showing up right now, and he's reportedly asking for a trade. Bo, you were saying earlier why he's not coming to Atlanta.
Well, first and foremost, if they had wanted Hassan Reddick here, they could have made the deal with Philadelphia themselves, and they could have signed him, and they could have expedited this whole thing. They didn't, and now he's he's asked for his second release in 6 months. That's a red flag. The Jets said that they're understanding he would play under this contract, and then after the season they could talk about it. I understand why Hassan Reddick doesn't want to play under the contract. He's got 50 and a half sacks in the last 4 seasons. Pretty good.
That's okay.
But
it's all right.
We'd probably take that here.
His first 3 seasons, not so good. But he's really been great the last since 2020. But the problem is now what is he in a locker room? And is he a malcontent? And are you going to go and extend a guy and pay a guy a ton of money who basically just got traded somewhere and never showed up one day to anything other than the press conference?
Here's my thought, maybe, why the Falcons didn't go after him. Maybe. It was because they thought they were going to draft pass rush from the first round, but then, quote-unquote, Michael Penix was available.
Things happen.
And then everything kind of went a different direction. So maybe But I hear you. I don't know. I have no idea. It's all about money.
I will say, as somebody who doesn't have really a vested interest in this entire Hassan Reddick saga, part of me wants the Jets to call his bluff.
Oh.
You know, part of me is like, you can drag this thing out all you want to, buddy. Like, we're good. You
know is it mean? About money, or is it because it's a Jets? And he's like, we're not going to make it until I'm out.
I don't know. Well, that's a good question.
Their understanding was they traded for him, their understanding was he would play this year and then they would revisit this. That's why Joe Douglas came out yesterday and was like, sorry, but it ain't happening. You're not getting traded. You'll continue to get fined until you decide you've been fined enough and you want to show up and play for the $14.25 million.
I would cry if I was fined $20 a day for not going to work. Like, let alone.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I don't. I'd be here
bright and early, boy.
Yeah, exactly. You find me every minute I'm late. I'm showing up.
Hey, that's diaper money, man. Come on. Oh, man, but I also would cry if I was making $15 million a year, which is, you know, what he could if he just showed up to work. So it'd be all good. Real quick, Lions running back Jahmyr Gibbs, Dalton graduate, former Georgia Tech running back, former Alabama running back. He had a hamstring injury, and it is being reported by NFL ESPN insider Scott Erickson that, they're fearing it's got something to do with his ACL. They're not calling it a tear just yet, but a hamstring issue which correlates with ACL tears. And they're worried about that. Jahmyr Gibbs, though, great year last year as a rookie. They're really looking forward to him being a part of that team. Terry Arnold also leaves practice yesterday with an upper body injury, quote-unquote. So it's a rough start to Lions training camp, or I guess midway through.
Yes, I go for Dan Campbell and company who are trying to, you know, repeat as champions of the division and so on and get themselves out of the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl. That's rough. I hate it, too, for kind of a hometown guy, you know, in Jahmyr Gibbs, and he's a hell of a player, and, you know, he played here at Tech, and I just don't like – it's not fun, and it's not fun for anybody to see anybody get hurt,
no.
But especially of players that could be special in the field like Gibbs can be.
Yeah, he definitely can, and it does stink, man. A lot of people thought they reached, and then he balls out last year, and they're like, nope, see, told you so, he's really good, we knew it. Nonetheless, man, speaking of guys with speed – we come back on the other side. We got to talk about this Tyreek Hill mess and him calling out the Olympic sprinting champion Noah Lyles. And also, it's Top 5 Tuesday. A little bit different flavor to Top 5 because the AP poll came out yesterday. I'll tell you who belongs and who doesn't in that Top 10 from the College Football AP poll. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
What are the haps?
Start the day the right way with the Morning Shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Allison M. You butchered your Twitter handle to me yesterday.
I
tagged the wrong thing, and I put out the tweet, and she goes, wait, that's not it. Allison Mastrangelo from Channel 2, Squid Billy from 92.9 in the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, and just Mikey P over here hanging out, man, chopping it up,
yeah,
having a good old
American,
time.
Yeah, All-American, national champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Falcons Radio Network.
All right. Simple as simple does. Just a simpleton over here, man, just running point. No big deal, just dishing it out. We're going to get to top five. Yeah, I do have coffee today. We're going to get top five Tuesday in just a second. I'm mic'd up. We're going to talk about not only the top five, but the top 10, the top 25 of college football. The AP polls come out. I got a couple teams that I'm really concerned that are part of the top 25. I'm not sure they belong, so we'll kind of chop that up here in just a minute. But right now, guys, one of the things we've talked about the last couple of weeks, and Allison, I'll just kind of bring you into the fold on this because last week we had a couple of questions with a number of our co-hosts, and it's like, which sport could you look like you belong in the Olympics? Like, not win gold, but which one could you just kind of vibe out in the back? Because we've all seen the breakdancer from Australia, and she just kind of slides in there. She gets straight zeros, but even she, as somebody who actually, like, was an Olympian, did not look like she belonged. And so it was like, which one? We came up with archery. You know, shooting, you know, the targets or whatever you want to call it. But we didn't really ever come up with anything. I was like, you know, I'd try to vibe in with the shot putters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
I vibe in with the surfers, but I wouldn't surf that wave.
Well, you know, and they were in Tahiti on a boat.
Yes. I don't want to die, but I vibe in. Like, they think I could go out there, and then I'm just going to sit.
Give them the old signal.
It's not big enough. This wave's not big enough.
Give them the old thumb and pinky. Hey, you got any room on that board?
I'm going to shred the gnar with you guys later.
Anybody got any wax? Okay. Anyway, so all that to be said, Tyreek Hill yesterday, well, he had some thoughts on where he might fit in the Olympics and whether or not he could beat a certain 100-meter champion.
Noah Lyles can't say nothing after what just happened to him. Then he want to come out and pretend like he's sick. I feel like that's horseradish. So for him to do that and say that we're not world champions of our sport, like, come on, bro. Like, just speak on what you know about, and that's track.
Would you like to race him when he gets home?
I would beat Noah Lyles.
You think so?
I would beat Noah Lyles.
By a lot?
No, I wouldn't beat him by a lot, but I would beat Noah Lyles.
I'd like to see that happen.
And guess what? When I beat him, I'm going to put on a COVID mask and let him know I mean business.
Just...
Actually,
a couple things. First of all, I love that he's like, man, we world champions. But the second thing is, like, you're literally like, oh, the Olympic 100 meter champion. You're like, God, smoke that dude. God, smoke that fool. What's
that's
he
a
talking
different
about?
Breed.
Hold on a second. First off, the first part of his this soundbite was phenomenal. He just, you know,
horseradish.
But here's the deal. You talk trash about, essentially, Noah Lyles talk trash about every athlete in this country that is not, that plays professional sports, that is not an Olympian, right? Oh, you can't, you called them all that couldn't call themselves world champions, which irritated them all. Then you go up to the Olympics and you talk trash. The 200 is my event.
You got COVID.
You'll know when I turn the corner.
That's horseradish.
I don't know. Tyreek Hill, you know what?
That's horseradish.
Tyreek Hill's got insider info. He don't believe it. I'm with Tyreek. Now,
it's the only time Bo's ever sided with Tyreek Hill.
A new conspiracy theory for the Falcons right here.
That's right.
That's it.
Now, the back half of it, I'm not going to say Tyreek Hill would beat any Olympian at sprinter, but the fact that he doubled down on it was funny. But I mean, I think Tyreek knows something. You know, he thinks that Noah Lyles is making excuses, and I mean, we need to see a test.
Maybe that's Tyreek will be in the Olympics 2028 flag football.
Hey, that would actually
that's a good
kind
point.
Of awesome.
Can it replace breakdancing?
Let me ask you.
It is. It's not coming back.
Quick answers from both of y'all. If it were on turf in football cleats, would Tyreek be able to at least pull even? If we're on turf in football cleats, would it make it a little bit
helmet pads?
Yeah.
Helmet, like full football
gear? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think speed and football speed are two different things, and I would not dislike Tyreek Hill's chances
like
there.
No chance. No. Noah Lyles got this thing.
Yeah.
No starting block. No starting blocks. No track.
Different.
Andy
has
to
different.
Catch a football in stride.
All right.
And elude a defender.
Speaking of football and being real speed, we got to hit this top five.
It's time for Mic'd Up with Mike Johnson. Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
That's right, Bo. Big Lexus, little Lexus, medium-sized Lexus. You know, Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event here.
They
on
do
the
have big Lexuses, like the SUV and
you
stuff.
Like that? Hey, man, maybe third row back there. We put you back there like we did in Daytona. Nonetheless, man, we got to talk about this Top 5 Tuesday. And like I said, it's a little bit different of a Top 5 Tuesday, but we got to dive into this AP poll that came out yesterday. College football season is upon us. Allison, I'm assuming you're just a dog by nature. Is it you're just an adopted dog? You just
I'm
like
not a fan of the teams I cover.
Okay, is
I'm
that what?
Oh my God!
He's a journalist.
Flashback.
Reincarnated Tiffany.
Yeah. Did Tiffany give you that line and say you had to say it once? You had to say this once.
You learned that in J school. You don't. Yeah. You're not a fan of the
J
team.
J school.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Speaking of which, do you
Rowan
have a
university?
Do you have
out.
A TV voice? Tiffany's definitely got a TV voice.
No,
she
I don't
swears
think so.
She doesn't.
Where'd you go?
Rowan University.
Rowan?
Yeah.
Fighting profs.
The fighting what?
They're just profs. It's an owl
prof?
With a professor hat.
No.
Yes.
No. Okay.
Very
I might have to cook you later on that. You might need a wake-up call.
What's your mascot's name there?
The prof.
No, I know that, but like Kennesaw State,
Hootie.
We're the owls,
Hootie.
And we got Scrappy. Scrappy's
we're the
ours.
Profs. We're the profs. We're the profs. He's an owl, too.
Yeah.
All right.
But ours is more educated, I guess, because it has the hat.
Hell, ours will fight you. He's Scrappy.
Here's what you got for the AP top 25. Here's the top 10. Georgia number one. I don't think anybody's arguing with that at this point, right? Georgia's number one. Ohio State number two.
Well, Ohio State fans are, but. Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know how you're arguing with that. Ohio State has spent a lot of money this offseason getting it all hooked up. Oregon at three. I'm not so sure. And I know that Oregon has remade that program. They're a lot nastier in the trenches than they've probably ever been. I love Dan Lanning. I'm just not sure that they kind of fit at three, dude. I'm having a little bit of struggle with that. Texas Longhorns at four. Alabama Crimson Tide at five. Ole Miss at six.
So I would put Texas ahead of Oregon because, for one, I think Quinn Ewers returning is a bigger deal than Dylan Gabriel going to Oregon, personally.
I completely agree with that.
And I also think that – now, the problem is Texas plays a tougher schedule. Much tougher.
I want to ask you all this because it's obviously a very personal question to me. But let's get through the rest of the top ten. Ole Miss does not belong at six. Ole Miss, the teams they played that were good last year, it just didn't happen for them. And I understand that, look, they've got a lot of upside. They've brought in a lot of players in the trenches through the transfer portal. No thanks. Notre Dame at seven, no thanks. They don't fit there. Penn State at eight, okay. Michigan drops all the way to nine. I think it's one of the lowest rankings. And then Florida State at ten.
I don't think Florida State belongs. I think Florida State is way overranked.
That's a completely different team than it was last year.
You're 100% correct, and you know I won't say that very often, so don't cut that.
Yeah, I did.
But that's why I don't know how you can say they're the 10th best team when everything they lost. We saw the team, a lot of the players that they're going to field this year play Georgia last year in a bowl game, and that didn't work out very well.
Yeah. I'm just still shocked that Oregon's in the Big Ten. I think that's throwing me
off. It's weird. It is weird.
Off.
And I think a lot of their ranking right now has probably a lot to do with schedule. But I look at Oregon, and I think I'm not going to include Bama in this because I am a Bammer, right? I'll admit that I'm a Bammer, and I see things through crimson glasses a lot of times. But I look at Alabama, and I wonder what Oregon does that's that much better than anything Alabama does. And I realize Nick Saban is not there, but you brought in a head coach that beat Oregon twice last year. So I kind of struggle with that just a little bit.
I've got like 13 things they do.
Okay, go ahead.
Idaho, position rankings. Boise State, yeah, that's Oregon State,
that's what
UCLA.
I
Michigan State. Oh, Ohio State. There's a tough one. Oh, back to Purdue, Illinois, Michigan maybe, Maryland, Wisconsin, Washington. That schedule, they got four games that could be close. The rest of them, they should dog walk people.
Is that a book? I didn't know.
Yeah, that's the old Phil Still. That's our friend Phil.
Phil Still, college football Bible.
Interesting. Okay. I know that the AP polls are very important. I just have such a hard time before we actually see them play.
Yeah.
Like, I just have a hard time with it.
What would we talk about?
Hey, hold on. Do you believe that we should not release a poll at all, any kind of rankings, until like maybe week six, five, six?
Kind of.
But here's the problem.
I agree with you.
Somebody's going to do it. It might as well be the AP.
This is all hypothetical.
If the AP goes away and the coaches go away, then guess what?
They look good on paper.
We'd have a morning shift top 25. The minute that happened, we'd have a morning shift top 25. And we would be talking about all the same.
Yeah, but nobody's going
to
care about
it. It gives us something to talk about. I love that.
Yeah, the one that matters is the college football playoff. And they don't do it until way into the season.
No one, ESPN or CBS or NBC or whoever you watch for college football ain't taking Squidbilly's top 10 and putting the numbers beside them when they play on TV and then altering everyone's thought process on how good those teams are.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Last and Clean. 404-726-0929. I got a couple of questions for you. First of all, could Tyreek Hill beat Noah Lyles in football pads? If he was in a football uniform and he were running on turf, could Tyreek Hill beat Noah Lyles? And the second one is, who in the top 10, the AP top 10, does not belong? Who are the imposters right now in the AP top 10 or the top 25? It's the wake-up call coming up on the other side of the break. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of the morning shift
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a wake up call, 404-726-0929, or you can hit us on the X at 92.9 Morning Shift. Allison, would you like to give out your Twitter because you butchered it yesterday to me, and I was not able to tag that. So
yeah, my Twitter is Allison WSB.
There you go. Channel 2 is Allison Mastrangelo and Squidbilly at 929.
One L.
I don't even know.
One L.
One L. Allison.
Not Allison.
A Town Alley, as you've been called before on these airwaves. Look, we got to
get it's at Squidbilly 929 if you're curious, since you wanted to just kind of.
No, that's what I said.
That's Dylan.
What I said. I said at Squidbilly 929 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Nah, you butchered it, bro. I even got Bozier. I said that was disrespectful.
Yeah, the nation will provide or something like that. I don't know.
If you want your t-shirt, just call.
D-Led did tweet out a Squidbilly t-shirt yesterday. So that was, anyway.
Yeah. D-Led's a big fan. He's in Squid Nation.
From a Hall of Famer.
That's right. We have Hall of Famers in there.
Yeah. Anyways,
D-Led, Algie Crumpler. You ain't got nobody.
We got to hit these wake-up calls, man. 404-726-0929.
Drew Butler.
Speaking of the Mafia, let's go ahead and head out to our boy John in LaGrange. Wham, wham, wham! John, tell him about it, baby. Let's go. Start it off right.
What's up, Godfather? Hey.
Let's go.
Tyreek Hill may win a sprint, but, you know, let's take synchronized swimming. He would drown because he couldn't hold his breath that long underwater. So there's a lot of things that, you know, folks can and can't do. Miss Allison.
Uh-oh.
Miss Allison.
Uh-oh. Careful.
You're fair game because it's wake-up call.
That's
Let me
right.
say this.
Bring it.
You got dogs. You got gators. You got razorbacks. You got tigers. You got all kinds of folks in the SEC. Some things should either be made up are just not spoken, because when you say fighting cross and it's an owl with a little hat on his head, not good. Either make it up or just keep it to yourself.
Yo,
love you. You don't make up little words that don't exist and you don't giggle all the time.
The profs.
So
the profs.
You're wonderful for the show, but just, you know, fighting cross, I don't know.
Yeah.
See ya.
I appreciate
thanks,
that.
John. Great call, John.
Mike Mafia.
I just want you to know that. Don't you know that that's what represents Mike's Mafia, the Johns okay. of the world.
All right. Well, if you want, speaking of representing the Mafia or Squid Nation, let's go out to our buddy Chief out in South Fulton. Chief, good morning to you, buddy. What's going on?
What's happening, King?
Yeah, we're talking.
Chief? That's right, Chief. Nation of Domination in the house. Watch your mouth. And good morning to the shoe princes over there and to the leader of Mike's Mafia, All-American Mike P. Johnson.
Flam, flam, baby. Let's go.
And, of course, my tribal chief. And you guys, you know, you were talking about the polls. And I'm telling y'all right now, the polls are for the people. The polls get the people going. You know, they just get the people going.
That's right. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's right. And I got a question for you guys. It's a little off kill, but me and the guys were arguing the other night. We were arguing about the smartest TV animals. So the three we came up with was Mr. Ed, the talking horse, and Flipper, and Lassie. Who's the smartest? I say that Lassie's probably the smartest, but I'm more interested in the talking horse. What do you guys think?
I don't think Mr. Ed was that smart. I let me think. It's got to be Flipper.
Well, yeah, I think the dolphins are one of the smartest animals around, so I would go with Flipper. I think Lassie
actually elephants are pretty smart.
Yeah, it would. Was there a TV elephant?
Oh, TV. I
okay.
Me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No. Yeah, yeah. No, Mr. Ed, Flipper, and Lassie.
Wait, what TV?
You're doing great, sweetie. You're doing
That's
great.
So early.
You know who was really smart? Was Wishbone, the dog.
I'm unfamiliar.
Yeah,
I'm
Wishbone
familiar.
Was a little dog in a TV show that I watched as a kid, and it would like, he would like solve
Air
mysteries.
Air Bud. What about Air Bud?
Well, Air Bud just played basketball. I mean,
That's
wasn't really smart.
Good.
Air Bud's recycled. They put him on TV.
Wishbone
the
solved crimes, though. So I would say Wishbone is the smartest TV animal.
Yeah. What's the dogs? The
Air Bud, Golden Retriever.
They came back. Homeward Bound.
Yeah, Homeward Bound.
That whole group,
yeah.
They were so smart.
Yeah. Chance, well, I don't know. The one that Michael J. Fox is the one that he played the voice of. That dog wasn't very
But he was in a good pack.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Chance.
And they made it home.
Was it Chance? Was Chance the older dog's name?
Chance.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think Chance.
They made it home, so that's my vote. Not
Anyways.
Elephants.
All right, let's go back to the lines, 404-726-0929. Let's bring in our buddy Devin in Kansas City. What's up, Devin? Good morning.
What's up, gang? What's up?
What's it going
on? So, I'm 33 years old, and in my existence of life, Notre Dame has done nothing since I have been alive. But yet, every year, they're in the top 10 for some reason, and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Them at Penn State, for some reason, get these little passes that I don't get. Now, I would switch them for Missouri, not because I live here, because I don't like the farmers up here that I live by. But I put Missouri there, and I feel like in the SEC, they give Georgia the biggest test in the SEC, just in my opinion.
Yeah.
And before I go, I got to ask Squid. The Squid, I saw you post that picture of you in your T-shirt at Falcons camp. You're not acting like the water boys going around hassling everybody. Hey, man, buy a T-shirt. You want a T-shirt? Damn permit trying to sell the damn T-shirt, man.
No, Devin. D-Led just wanted to take a picture with the legend like me. But I'll tell you one thing. I got some news for you. Notre Dame, when you were two and a half or two years old, they were cheated out of a national title by Florida State and the people that vote in these polls.
What?
Because Notre Dame beat Florida State that year on the field. and then only lost one game all year, just like Florida State, but had the win over them head-to-head, and still the pollsters voted that Florida State team with Charlie Ward as national champions.
Well, I was going to say Notre Dame hasn't done nothing. They played in a national title game, 12 years ago, and that didn't end well, but at least they made it that far.
You can talk
about the schedule all you want to. They also went to the college football playoff, 2 years ago?
I think they went twice.
Yeah.
They produce NFL talent.
Is that what it is? Okay. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, Manti Te'o did play for
the Saints. All I can think about is Tyrone Willingham and Charlie Weiss and everything else. So hopefully, look, Brian Kelly was good.
Brian Kelly's been.
But he ain't there no more.
Yeah, Brian Kelly's other than Lou Holtz, Brian Kelly's the best coach they've had in the last 30 years. So.
All right, let's go back out to the line. Let's go to Chris in College Park. What's up, Chris? Good morning to you, buddy.
Smell what the nation is cooking.
Chris, don't come in with that energy right
let's
now,
go,
man.
Chris.
Hey, they ain't cooking anything.
You know what it is, man. Squid Nation in the building. How are you doing, fearless leader?
Good, sir. You?
I'm doing fantastic. All-American?
I'm doing great, buddy.
Nice. And welcome, Allie. I got it right, Allison?
Yes, that's right. You're right. Good morning. Yeah. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to get right to it, man. I'm going Falcons football. I hadn't had a chance to jump in yet on last week's game. But first, man, a wake-up fist bump to Trice and that injury crushed me, man. As somebody who wanted a defensive pick the past 2 years with our number one overall pick, it was a bummer to see him go down because I was really looking forward to seeing what he was going to do along with Rook or Ro-Ro-Ro. So, Trice, if you're listening this morning, man, get well so we can see you next season. And then secondly, and I want to get y'all's opinion, I told you last time, I think when I called in, I played ball at Kansas State University. Well, one of my teammates and best friends was a guy who played receiver named Greg Washington, who is the father of receiver Casey Washington, who popped last week with Lefty Penix. And just want to get your guys' opinion on Casey, how he looks, and do you think he's going to make the team? And one more thing, and it's always important, hashtag Squid Nation.
It's not important. Dylan, cut this man off. I had so much fun talking about Casey Washington after the game on the post-game show because he is on the all-eyeball team if I've ever seen anybody. Like, you look at that guy, he is a Jesse-looking dude. First one off the bus, chiseled out. I'm like, I need that guy's workout program, bro. Like, whatever kind of calf raises this guy's doing, he looks like a workout warrior, man. And I do think he's going to make the team. I think that that path became a little more clear, unfortunately, with the injury of Rondale Moore. But he's next man up in that rotation. Michael Penix obviously loves him.
Yeah, I think it's Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Kadarryl Hodge, Ray McLeod, Casey Washington, and another.
And whoever can play special teams.
Well, and I think James Washington could make his way in there because I think he still can maybe play a little bit, and he's coming back. But it's. Casey Washington has been nothing to impress me. I think there's some things he's got to work on. Like, all these guys, that's the whole point.
He's a rookie.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. You know, you're a sixth-round pick, right? You're not going to come in necessarily. And
He's got that chip.
The Puka Nakuas don't grow on trees where guys come in, great route runners, and they just excel in year one.
Yeah. All right, let's get to one more call. Let's hit to our buddy Larry out in the truck. Larry! It's all right if you
want
to come to the mafia.
What up?
If you want, if you're ready right now to devote yourself, we'll accept you.
Mafia, and I got to split that in half, but I'm gonna get that to that in just a minute. Give me a second. First of all, just welcome to Miss A-Town Shoe Princess. Everybody gave you a nickname already.
I love it.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to call in. I was kind of sick last week, so this is my first chance to get to call in and say what's up and welcome to the show. Secondly. Squid Billy, I saw your T-shirts, man. And even though, I'm not all up in Squid Nation, I will support a brother and get a T-shirt from you. And
Larry.
As soon as Mike's – not a problem, bro. As soon as Mike's Mafia and Tiffany Nation come out with their T-shirts, I'll get one of those too. So, but in the meantime, I'll be walking around with Squid Nation just to irritate the other two people.
I love hearing that.
Man, boy.
But – at any rate, you guys have a good show. I'm back in the truck, so I'll be bugging you guys the rest of the weekend. I'm going to come with – oh, Squid Nation, you need to let us know when the golf tournament's going to be, bro, for real. I'm just saying.
Larry.
You need to let us know, bro.
Larry, when I can tell you, I will. I know you want to play. Trust me, we're going to make sure – I make sure you got a spot. Yeah. We'll talk to your boss, including them. I just can't announce it yet. It is above my head on when I can announce. However, glad you're feeling better, and appreciate the support. Because, you know, we talked about making some Mike's Mafia shirt a part of the Squid Billy collection.
I don't think so. Rusty's in the bullpen. Rusty, would you, thumbs up or thumbs down, would you wear a Squid Nation shirt? Yeah, that thumb is almost going through
well,
the floor.
Well, Drew
right
Butler,
now.
Who it's also is on your show, would disagree
right
with
Drew
you.
Drew doesn't want anything to do with that nation.
Yes, he
anymore.
Does.
He told me he quit.
No, he didn't.
Real quick, it's my niece's birthday today. I got to hear a shout out. Aaliyah Runnels. She turns 15 years old today. I can't believe that. She was a senior in college when she was born. So shout out to her. Happy birthday. And look, man, the goings on continue. Atlanta sports scene. We'll talk about the Braves. We'll talk about the Falcons. Stay tuned here to the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 910 again.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Am I going back to a Guitar Hero or a Rock Band here? Anybody else?
Bon Jovi,
just
baby.
Absolutely just roll through this in Rock Band. Maybe it was Guitar Hero. Just used to just destroy this. You know what I mean?
Oddly enough, whenever I think of this song, I think of, what was that, Deadliest Catch? I think of that show.
That's actually a great call.
The fact that that's the only thing you think of when you hear this song makes me feel old.
He's a youth, man.
Makes me feel old, but also this is from Allison's neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Jersey.
Jersey's own John Bon Jovi.
That's right.
I thought he's from Philly.
No, he's from Perth, Amboy, New Jersey.
Didn't he own the Philadelphia Arena League team?
The Soul, I believe it was called. Him and Ron Jaworski.
Yeah, Ron, that's right. Jaws.
Yeah.
I had a beer with him.
Good dude. Good Ron Jaworski is a great dude.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit of Atlanta Falcons here in a minute. Jerry Gray had some interesting stuff to talk about. Now, one of the things that did pop up, we didn't get to get to this in the wake-up call, but somebody was given a wake-up call recently, and it might be the girl sitting to my right now.
I forgot about this already. I forget what you talk about.
Allison's talking about
during the break comes out in the show.
Talking about so that's how radio kind of works.
That's funny.
So it's so funny. Allison was talking about how, you know, just how different dating is nowadays.
Yes.
Like it's just different than it was 10 years ago or whatever that may be. But you said you were given a book recently by a member of your family. Can you please explain to the people what happened?
My mom is just, you know, she loves to give gifts that always kind of have a meaning to it. And so I'm home last week. And I'm helping her. She just had knee replacement surgery. I'm home last week. She's like, I got a book for you since we're just chilling at home. I'm like, that's awesome. I was like, what?
Yeah, you're like, oh, cool. Is it like a, you know, is it a novel?
It says How Not to Die Alone is the cover. It says How Not to Die Alone.
Very,
like,
very
mom.
Subtle. Very
She's
subtle
like,
by
mom.
She's worried about you.
I'm like,
she is worried about
I'm
you.
I'm busy. I got a lot going on. And she's like, no.
How Not to Die Alone.
And you know what's sad is I started reading it. And even, I was like, I'm just going to read it.
Yes.
I was like, no. I'm not going to lie. When I was on the airplane, I'm like covering the cover.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
Gosh. Anyone to read this?
Oh, you bought like a cover.
Good.
This reminds
good.
Me of that scene in Wedding Crashers when he's like, "I'm reading self help me books or don't kill myself books or whatever."
No,
and
it's so
you're getting married.
It's good. It's by Logan Ury. I don't know if I'm saying right, but like it's like a scientific. It does like sociology studies and it really gets in depth about how this is the hardest time to date. It made me feel like okay, I'm not alone. You
is
know?
It okay?
I'm not alone.
Does it focus on like
dating styles and like the. Like
okay, so
problem.
It's more like, it's not like actually when you're dating somebody, it's more like about like when you meet people, how you should act. Is
it's
that what it is?
It's everything.
It's
yeah,
it all encompassing.
Is there a chapter
how
about lowering your expectations?
Yeah, kind of. Like, basically it's like no one is perfect. So just because something bothers you, like, because I think that's the problem with like dating now and the apps and everything. It's like, I'll just find someone that doesn't bother
tough
me as
thing,
much.
You know, tough
like
thing.
My parents met, like my dad's car broke down in front of my mom's soda pop shop. He came in and used the phone. And that's how they met. And now I've been married 55 years. I got married at 19. And that I'm here. How not to die alone. She's worried about me.
That's a pretty cool. That's actually a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
But I love the subtleness of your mother. She's like,
oh.
Hey, sweetie.
Yeah.
Got you a gift.
I was thinking
how not to die alone.
I was thinking about you. And I thought this book was just perfect for you.
It screamed your name.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's actually like hilarious. She's sarcastic. It's funny. It's good.
I love that, man.
We'll see. In months from now, it worked.
You know what I mean? Now, she's just word.
I can't. I was going to say.
Hold your tongue, Squid. Hold it.
When you finish this book, are you going to give it to any of your friends?
Oh, I'm giving it to Tim. I'm giving it to Tim. She's first on my list.
I couldn't help it. I had to. She told me to.
Yo.
She said to do it.
Hey, Alice is like, hey, we're starting a book club. I will give the book to Tiff. It doesn't mean she's going to read it. It's going to be on her bedside.
Is she a LeBron-style reader where they're always on the first page?
She gets through one page.
Well, I could have a book club with her on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Take the pastry man with you.
Oh, gosh. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I got it, Dylan.
After Tiffany reads it, we can get it to Abe as he texted me and said, I might need that book too.
We'll have a book club. We'll all just read in a circle together.
Oh, Gabe.
There are exercises to do in the book.
Oh, are there? Group activities.
Book quiz.
Gabe Orton.
Oh,
that a boy,
Gabe,
man.
Don't change, my friend. You're the best.
Don't change. That's awesome. Lord of mercy. I don't know how I'm supposed to talk Falcons right now. Jerry Gray, there's your pivot. Jerry Gray met with the media yesterday, and he talked about the impact of all these injuries. Man, who's going to step up?
Well, right now, you know, the biggest thing we got to do is we got to see who's going to be that next guy. You know, we always talk about next man up, who's stepping up, and that's what we're looking for. Who's going to step up and be that next guy until we get DeMarco back? And I think that's the attitude we had last year. That's the attitude we got to keep building because you never know. You know, this league is so physical, you're going to lose some guys along the way. Can the young guys that are after him step up and make plays? If they can, you're only going to make us better. You know, if you can't, you're going to make us worse. So it's up to a lot of guys that are playing backup that really gives you the strength of what you're really going to be.
All right, I got a question. I know that Mike's running point and everything, but I got a question. The fact that DeMarco Helms is playing, he goes down in a game, and the Monday after, they're talking to Justin Simmons, and Justin Simmons is in town. Does that tell you what they think about Richie Grant?
I think they would love to have a long-term answer. I mean, Richie Grant's in the final year of his deal, right?
But I also don't – I don't know if Justin Simmons is a long-term answer. I don't see Justin Simmons coming here and signing anything other than a one-year deal to get himself to next offseason.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm wrong. I mean –
Do you think those are conversations that you have, and both of y'all can answer this, are those conversations that Terry has with the agent before that visit happens? Is it like, hey, are we even in the ballpark? Do we need to waste your time, right, of flying him out here and visiting with him? Or is it as simple as, you know what, you're looking for 4 years, we're looking for two, don't even come?
Well, Allison, wouldn't you agree that's the first thing that they talk, what the money, the parameters of the deal, which is money and length?
Yeah. No, 100% I think it comes down to that. I'll be honest, I wasn't totally listening to what you just said.
she's texting Tiff about how she just dogged her on the radio.
My producer Justin texted me and I answered him back. He's talking about... Anyway, but I will say this. I will say, talking about Jerry, he's so fun to listen to. Like, I learned so much every time.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, every time he talks, I learned so much about him. Even when they were going to play the Packers and, like, talking about Aaron Rodgers and everything last year, like, I always love talking to him.
Yeah, we had a scary experience in the elevator.
You and Jerry.
Yeah. What? So I know that, you know, most of those things, this is a story you can tell off the air. It's not like a story you can't tell, but we're at a hotel on Friday, and I get in, I'm going down to the gym, and I guess he was a floor above me. He gets in, and when the elevator went to close, it was one of those doors that, like, start wobbling, and then boom, and shut.
No.
And I looked at Coach Graham, I was like, well, that makes you feel comfortable, doesn't it? He's like, loud door. Yeah. The loud doors on these elevators. But he is a great guy to listen talk to. We've had him on the show a few times. He's so good for the secondary. I mean, if you were to land Justin Simmons, you would now have Justin Simmons, alpha leader, Jesse Bates, alpha leader, AJ Terrell, who I don't think is needed to be a leader in his young career, but I do know is an alpha and could be. And then you have Jerry Gray leading them. I mean, and don't forget veterans like Kevin King and Antonio Hamilton, who have both played and contributed. And guess what? Jerry Gray, Kevin King, they have a history. That's why guys like that. The versatility could be huge for. And Mike Hughes is another guy that has some veteran. You know, he's a veteran now. He's trying to kind of find his way in some ways in this league. But
well, I'm glad you brought up AJ Terrell too, because I think when you look at the opportunity to sign a Justin Simmons, you have to move money around, right? And you have to talk about where that money is going to come from. The Falcons have some of the least amount of calories. Space in the league, I think it's just over $3 million. They had to move money around some way. That means cutting somebody with a big contract. I don't see who that would be at this point. I don't think it's going to happen. Or that means signing somebody to an extension and trying to move that money around. AJ Terrell seems to be the obvious kind of choice in that situation. Would you be opposed to it? I mean, I think he's going to be paid. I don't know that he's a top five corner in the league, but I think he's going to get probably top five money because of what he brings this team.
Well, there's 64 starting cornerbacks in this league on the outside. Right? And you take that and you would say that A.J. Terrell is in the top 15 to 20 of that. I think that's pretty freaking good. I would take, yes, A.J. Terrell deserves a contract.
You think he's a top 15 corner?
Yeah, I think he's in there. I think he's had those years. I also think you got to remember some of those guys that get a lot of credit for being really good corners also play behind elite pass rushes. And I don't think he has ever played behind an elite pass. I know he's never played behind an elite pass rush.
Good point.
And I still think he's a good player. Yeah, if you have a problem with A.J. Terrell getting paid, then you need to rethink about how you evaluate NFL players, because the reality of the situation is he's one of the better guys in the league, and they're not cheap. And if you let him walk, where are you going next year?
Not very far. But he's had a good camp. I'm here for it. I am curious to see when those numbers start to come out, if and when they sign Justin Simmons, where that money comes from, man. A.J. Terrell seems like the obvious choice. All right, we come back here on the morning shift. We're going to talk a little bit of Braves, the big win last night in that pitcher's duel, and we got a life of Squid.
Local program lands a big-time recruit, and another one could be on the way. On the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
Back to more of the morning shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Channel 2's Allison. She's trying to get her retweets up so she can go to Dublin.
Yeah, go to my
trying
Twitter.
Trying to get that
retweet.
Vibe.
Retweet. Retweet so I can go to Dublin.
I'm
off to a slow start, guys.
And why do you get this is why this is
I need 100,000 according to my boss to be even considered to go.
Well, we're gonna work on this because I'm all in now, because what bothers me is when people on Twitter try to inject themselves like this doo-doo dog guy. I was like, it ain't gonna happen. Like, okay, well that's because you're
a
Georgia
just
fan.
Sit back and watch,
yeah,
there, buddy.
It's like, all right there, tough guy. You know what? Just go tweet someone else, doo-doo dog.
Yeah. We do want to get to a life of Squid in just a minute. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. The Braves last night, Bo, pitcher's duel, you were talking about. You were highly entertained. I don't know that I was highly entertained, but I enjoyed seeing the Braves win a squeaker. And you just, more times than not this year, have not seen the Braves be able to pull that out. You get into extra innings. Raisel Iglesias goes 2. Chris Sale was electric, so was Blake Snell. But the Braves were able to pull it out in the end. And look, man, I'm not going to say I was awake until the end, but just watching a little bit of this was, it's nice to see the Braves win a game like that.
Well, I don't know why. First off, I thought it was really cool when Chris Sale walked off and after 7 innings, walked off the mound. He pops up the guy and he's like, "Oh, you're not entertained." I thought it was pretty cool. Why would you not be entertained? Why is it when two pitchers, starting pitchers of that quality, go out there and literally pitch to the highest level, 23 combined strikeouts between the two of them?
Why are you looking at your producer?
No reason. I really need to find that AP writer that wrote that. That's wrongly. I don't know why that's not entertaining yet. If we have the worst of baseball, where there's 17 runs scored, and you blow an 8-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth, and you say, "Well, that was a fun game at least." No, it's not. That is the best you can get from those two guys. It was, and then Raisel Iglesias comes in. A two-inning appearance from him, which is rare, 4 strikeouts. That was a really good game last night. And it was because you had really good starting pitching, and we just don't see that as much anymore.
Mike and I said we respected it.
Respect it.
That's definitely like a playoff game. You need to win those because that can happen in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's way more fun when you're watching the ball go out of the park.
Yeah, here's the thing.
And I just love that.
Chicks dig the long ball. So do some guys.
Chicks, yes.
And here's the thing. Here's what I will say, Bo. And look, don't get me wrong. I did enjoy watching the game last night, and I enjoyed the pitching performance from Chris Sale. When you do have a pitcher's duel, though, it takes out so many other facets of the game that are so much.
Like what?
Like an outfield assist at home plate. Like strategy
so
of a hit and run or a guy going first to third.
Hold on. The outfield assist, I'll give you. Maybe, because sometimes you have those in one-run games. But you're telling me when a guy. Blake Snell threw three walked three guys. Now, Chris Sale didn't walk anybody. They gave up, I think,
and that
five.
Was the difference.
I think five combined hits. That's eight base runners between those two. You're telling me there wasn't a moment where there was a hit and run on, or maybe a base? Chris Sale had runners on first and third with no one out in the first inning and got out of it. That is the best of baseball. It doesn't.
I'll give you that.
Just have to be points and runs. Like, we are so boring as people that we think that's the only way to be entertained instead
TikTok.
Of the beauty of sports. Yeah, we need flash instead of seeing the realness of what we saw. That's the best you can get last night. Just like the best you get of this show every freaking day is when I do my segment.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
That's right. Well, W Sauce, well, Bloody Mary mix is Garrett Chapman approved, and he doesn't approve a lot, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to WSauce.com to find the Bloody Mary mix, and you can go to your Kroger's, your Publix, your Ace Hardware's.
Publicis.
I mean, it's all over the globe these days, at least the continental United States anyways. And my friends at Status Truck and Trailer Repair, big truck, small truck, medium-sized truck. You want a fifth wheel like Mikey P here, the All-American does. You know what? My boy Anthony at Status Truck and Trailer Repair will hook you up because it is the only official truck and trailer repair of Squid Nation.
We are the nation!
Best part about having new hosts in here is they get to look at you when you're doing this whole ordeal and wonder what in God's name is going on in this studio right now.
Oh,
so
boy.
That's always a joy.
I think that Allison was a fan of my transition to throw to my segment. Were you not?
I was.
Were you not entertained?
The people heard it.
I don't know how to do that. I gotta learn the off button. I'm not used to that.
No. Don't hide the joy, the excitement and the joy of me doing my work. All right. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. That's right. We're going to talk Georgia Tech football, ladies and gentlemen. Offensive tackle, 27th-ranked national prospect Josh Petty. He committed to Tech yesterday. That is huge recruit for Tech. He's the 6th-ranked offensive tackle in the 2025 cycle. He picked Tech over Ohio State, Florida State, Tennessee, and Stanford. And that's a good pull. And I would say this. Getting a in today's era of NIL, to me, that tells me. I asked Brent Key a question last year at an off the record.
If it's off the record, can you share it?
I was going to say it's on the record now.
Back to J school.
I'm not going to give his answer.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you that I asked him a question about the NIL and how Tech thought they could be competitive and could they be. And I'll tell you this, he was confident. And
Attaboy, and
guess what? Landing picks like this, he's making me confident in that part of what he is building there. I have said this all along. Brent Key was the right person at the right time for this program, and I don't know. I think it fell in their lap a little bit. I'm not going to take things away from what Jay Batt and what he's doing, but I think this fell in their lap with Brent Key, and I think this could work very, very well. He just knows it. And and Christian Garrett, who's a top recruit as well, just decommitted. He's a 4-star that just decommitted he's a defensive tackle from Georgia. And there's rumblings that Georgia Tech and Tennessee are at the top of his list because they were there earlier. So they could maybe get another guy. It could be a really important 2025 class for Georgia Tech and Brent Key.
There
and
you
look,
go.
Tech fans, you say we don't talk about you enough. You keep giving us news like this. We might even have Garrett Chapman. We might let him, who covers Tech, say a sentence or two about them as well.
It's the rambling wreck from Georgia Tech, baby. We love talking a little Tech on here.
Good for them.
A-Town, Allie, Miss Shoe Queen, it's been an absolute pleasure
for
the last couple
days.
Appreciate you hanging out with us. Please give us a glowing report next time you talk to your best friend, Tiffany Blackman.
Oh, I will.
And just don't talk about the book part.
Let her know how delightful.
I'll let her figure it out.
Just be like, these guys were so delightful. Tiffany's gonna be like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Nah, they were so delightful in the morning. All right, when we come back up, man, we're gonna talk to the steakhouse, figure out what they have going on. Rusty Manziel back in the bullpen right now, getting loosened up. Stick with us here on the morning show.